This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.
Former adult film star Robin Weathers has skated by as Pornocopia's do-nothing accountant for years. And who can blame her? Her supervisor has only encouraged her dilly-dallying, and it's given her oodles of time to do what she loves most, coach the talent at her mentor's feminist pornography studio. But then the IRS comes knocking. With her supervisor unable to bail her out, Robin can either come clean and risk her friendships and career, or buck up and find another way to skirt the system. No matter how she chooses, along the way she'll have to confront her blossoming feelings for the man she's enlisted to teach her accounting, and the return of the woman she's always loved, who's finally ready to try to make things work. Accounting for It All by R.R. Campbell. Available November 2018 from 9-Star Press. For more, visit accountingforitall.com. That's accountingforitall.com. Thanks for listening. Episodes 29 and 30 of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast, guest Sione Ashlin walked listeners through a series of considerations one should make and steps one should take when entering the world of self-publishing. Today's episode will view self-pub through a different lens, with our guests offering their insights, experiences, and advice based on their own journeys in the world of self-publishing. Hey there, I'm R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 43 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell Writes Cast here on the Writes Cast Network. Today's guests are Mel Goh and Noelle Nichols, both of whom visited the RightsCast Network in 2017 to join us for episodes 19 and 25, respectively. For listeners who might be unfamiliar with these returned guests, let's get to better know them one at a time before we hop into the contents of our conversation. Mel Goh writes mostly male-male romance, usually with a twist on the hurt comfort trope. She's published one book with 9-Star Press, a short story with Fluky Fiction, and is just now embarking on the adventure for writers who have absolutely no interest in life outside writing, also known as self-publishing. Her first self-published novel, He Is Mine, debuted on September 7th, 2018. When not reading or writing, Mel spends her time with her boyfriend discussing science or poking fun at each other. Mel's first foray into self-publishing was Tainted Life, a novella available when you sign up for her newsletter at melgo.com. Then we have Noelle Nichols. Noelle is a writer, dreamer, and creator. She writes to make sense of the world, often putting her characters in situations that rely heavily on moral choice. Her current series, The Shadows Creed Saga, was influenced by Japan's samurai and shinobi. When she isn't writing, she's painting or daydreaming on hikes. You can follow her adventures on her website, noellenichols.com, and her episode 25 of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast on self-editing and maintaining momentum was voted as the winner of the Listener's Choice Award in the first annual Writes Cast Awards. So be sure to check out her first episode as well as Mel's by visiting writescast.net. All right, with introductions complete, let's get to my interview of Mel Goh and Noelle Nichols. Stay tuned afterward for updates on future Writes Cast Network programming. For listening. Well, thank you very much, Mel, for coming back to the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast here on the Writes Cast Network.
Thank you very much for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
And we're really glad to be joined today as well by Noelle Nichols, also a return guest to the Writes Cast. So thank you, Noelle, for stopping by.
Thanks, Ryan. Really excited to chat today with both of you.
Yeah, this should be a really fun conversation. I'm excited to learn about the experiences that both of you have had in the world of self-publishing. I think that subscribers to this podcast will know that this is a topic that's come up before. We addressed it from more of a step-by-step approach back in episodes 29 and 30, but this is going to be more of a personal experience, some reflections on how it went, things that you might let other writers know to watch out for, or things that they could do to help themselves succeed in the world of self-publishing. So with all of that in mind, let's hop right into this conversation, and we'll start with Mel. So Mel, why don't you tell us a little bit about your self-published work, and what is it that led you to pursuing self-publication for this title?
Okay, so my first full-length novel that I'm self-publishing is coming out in September on the 7th. And the reason I went with it in the end is because I'm quite impatient, and I submitted this book to a lot of different agents. I think I submitted it to a couple of smaller publishing houses as well. And I had very little response. And I think it's to do with the genre, because it's manmade romance, but it's got a male female twist on it. And I think it was just not the right fit for any of them. I mean, getting an agent with manmade romance is very difficult anyway. And then, of course, there were some sort of changes recently in the smaller publishers where Riptide are no longer taking submissions, and then the other publishers were sort of overwhelmed a little bit. And something I hadn't realized was that Dream Spinner don't take direct submissions anymore. They have sort of calls for specific topics. But it was sort of a smaller field, and I wanted to go with an American publisher because it's an American story. And I gave it 6 months, and after that I said, you know what, I'm quite interested in seeing how it works anyway with the self-publishing. Why don't I give it a go and, you know, put my best foot forward and see where it leads me? And that's what I did. I jumped into it, you jump into Facebook groups, that's what you do. And then you learn as much as you can and then just hope for the best, really.
Well, it sounds like you have a very gung-ho attitude. You know, something we've talked about on this show in previous episodes is what it is that we can do when we're staring, you know, whether it's actual rejection in the face or a lack of opportunity. And it sounds like with shifts in the world of publishing, you saw self-publication as the best way forward for your book. And now I'm curious, let's turn it over to Noelle. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book that you now have out, a self-published title, and then what is it that led you to making the decision to self-publish this book?
Yes, so my first book I ended up publishing at the end of June. It's called Shadow's Hand. It's part of a series, The Shadow's Creed Saga. It's basically an epic heroic fantasy about like a ninja / samurai culture. It's all about like moral choice, and there's magic in there, there's bad guys. It's like this whole big epic tale on like, you know, what they're deciding to do in a changing world. And basically the reason why I went with the self-publishing is because I kind of have like that entrepreneur spirit, and I see self-publishing as a way to keep control of the vision that I see. So I'm lucky in regards that I have like an artistic talent. So I wanted to do my book cover. So I drew my own book cover and did that. And then I just, like, I have this vision in my head of where I want this series to go that you're not really able to do so easily with traditional publishing. I have high hopes of kind of spinning off like little spin-offs where I do like graphic novel tie-ins and doing separate novellas that tie into the main series. So it's like, if anyone's going to, like, have this story, I can't imagine anyone doing a better job than what I can. So I jumped into it with hopes of exploring kind of, like, this new growing, like, the indie community is really growing, and I think it's a great place to connect with writers and just take, like, your own career into your hands.
I really like that idea, that this whole notion of taking it into your own hands, and sometimes even literally, like you mentioned, with the design of your own cover, which, by the way, I really love that cover. I think you did a really good job with that.
Thanks, yeah. I really like it. It turned out surprisingly better than I thought.
Yeah, it has a lot of really nice depth to it. So props to you for being able to do that. And I know that anyone who's thinking that you, of course, have to design your own cover in the world of self-pub, that's not true. I think it's back in either episode 29 or 30. Both are in the same series on self-pub. Sion and I talk about some resources available to folks who might be looking for ways to get their book cover designed by a third party. But we'll leave that topic in those episodes and move forward here with Mel. You mentioned in your previous response that you found Facebook groups to be of help in part of this journey towards self-publication. And why don't you take a minute now to talk about what it is that made that resource so valuable, and then share with us, if you would, other resources that you might have found useful along the way.
Okay, so I think I couldn't have done the self-publishing when I first started up because I just didn't know anything about the process. I didn't know where to go for resources and for people to ask questions. And while I was still waiting for, you know, the agents to come back, and also while I was working on the book and working with Nine Star on my first one, I I started looking around because I'm just interested in the process. I've got a marketing background. I might have mentioned that in the last episode. So I was quite involved in the marketing of my first book anyway. And it's always good to have lots of different places to go for networking, for asking questions and getting ideas for what you can do so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. So I had, by the time I decided to self-publish, I'd already been in lots of groups. Lots of them to do with Meme romance writing and LGBT sort of writing groups. But there were a couple of groups that were mentioned again and again. And one of them is called 20 Books to 50K. And it's probably the biggest self-publishing, indie publishing, indie author Facebook group. And it's the community side of a group of very successful self-publishers who are not only teaching others how to go about setting up basically everything from how to be a good writer to how do you market your book, how do you set it up on Amazon, but they also do a lot of lobbying. So they are now so strong and so well known that they talk directly to Amazon. So it's become a bit of a lobbying. It's almost like you're part of like an informal union for writers when you're in there. They have a big conference every year in Las Vegas. I think they did one in London, they want to do one in Scotland, they're doing one in Bali. So it's this huge thing where all these people come together and think, I don't want to lie, but there are thousands and thousands of, tens of thousands of people on that group. So you go on there and there are lots of resources in a document that's linked at the top. So basically you can just go in there and read for a week and learn everything about self-publishing. And then you can ask questions, which I think is the most important thing, because while, yes, there's lots out there that you can read, lots of books, which I also did. I read Craig Martell's book. I read several books about AMS advertising. I mean, I read books about how to be a better writer anyway. But it's this, you know, the shortcuts of going, okay, so I've got, you know, I want to start somewhere. Where do I start? What are the best books? I literally went on there and said, you know, I don't want to trawl through 20 books before I find one I like. What are your favorite books that taught you how to self-publish? And someone recommended Let's Get Digital. So I would definitely recommend that one as an introductory read. But if you're just on the group, you don't have any money for books or anything, you can just be on the 20 books to 50K group and learn everything for free on there. And then obviously decide on, you know, where to put the little bit of budget you might have for cover design and advertising and so on. The other really, really important group for me has been the Indie Cover Project, I think it's called. And on there, people help each other critiquing covers that they either have designed themselves or had designed, and the back cover blurbs, which you can't write them on your own. It's just impossible. You can't be objective enough. I certainly have not come across anyone who's been on that group who wrote their own blurb and then, you know, everyone just went, oh yeah, that's great. You can't. I think you can't see the wood for the trees anymore after a while. And they helped me so much on both the one that's coming out in September and on the novella, which I self-published in July, to just get my cover, to get my blurbs, professional. And then there are some self-published and traditionally published groups on Facebook for more LGBT and memo romance publishing, which, you know, if you search for that, if you search for romance writers, they will all come up, or self, you know, help for indie publishing. You find so many groups, and it's worth joining all of them. You don't have to stay in all of them, but the two that I think are a must are 20 Books to 50K and the Indie Cover Project.
Yeah, it sounds like Facebook groups really had a lot of great information available to you for free, and there's an opportunity in there, of course, to work directly with people who are on the same journey that you are. So that sounds very valuable. And now I'm curious, Noelle, were Facebook groups something that you used as a resource in helping you get your book launched? Or, and even if so, or if not, what are some other resources you might have used to help guide you on this path?
Yeah, I would definitely think that Facebook groups are really important. I found a pretty good sense of community, which is one of the big aspects, I think, of even just being in this giant mess with everyone. I did actually join 20 Books to 50K just recently, and I was overwhelmed by the amount of very specific information. Like, you can actually look up whatever stage you're in, and they have, like, an enormous amount of resources that you can do. I actually, when I first started out, I did a lot of like webinars. So you follow like the top people in the self-publishing, like Jane Friedman, the Creative Pen, the Alliance of Independent Authors. They just do like a whole bunch of like webinars, like of all different steps of self-publishing, because it's really, it's a lot more than just, you know, publishing. It's also how do you do like edit? How do you hire people? And just following the webinars and gathering information kind of has led me more to my own certain path, because it's very much, how do I figure out how this is going to work for me? So I liked to gather a lot of information, and then I actually found a good community on Twitter as well. If you basically like all these independent authors, these self-publishers, they actually are really nice. And if you talk to them with questions, you can get some pretty good instant feedback on like if it's something you really want to pursue. Like, you can get detailed feedback and be like, hey, is this like really as hard as people say it is? So I was kind of, I questioned a lot of people that I had followed, and they were very kind to actually give me personalized answers when I was confused and everything. So I would say join the community has been a really big thing. Like, you don't need to stay outside. We're all, again, like in this giant self-publishing is a thing, so we all need to like get in and help each other, and people have been really great.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think is tremendous, whether you find it on Facebook or you find it on Twitter or wherever it is you might stumble into it, is that there really is a community of other writers out there who are looking to engage with and help out other writers who are at any number of steps in the process, whether it's the publication process or the writing process itself. And I think the thing that really stands out to me from what I've heard here from both of you is that taking advantage of that community, really putting yourself in the middle of it, not being afraid to ask questions or seek out resources, can have a really positive impact on one's experience overall. And building on that sort of positive side of the experience, Noelle, let's stick with you here. I'm curious, was there anything in this process that went more smoothly than you might have originally anticipated?
I would have to say that just social media and finding the community was the easiest part. Like, I thought it was going to be hard to like network and actually like, you know, build a following up, but I actually found that to be one of the easiest things, because if I talk about like, you know, samurais and ninjas, like I can just talk about that and people are like, oh my God, I like that too. And so people will naturally like flock to you when you share like, you know, lines on Twitter, just like sharing in the games, like, oh, this is a cool line I wrote, and then people will like it. And then it's like a supernatural way to get people involved with what you're doing. And I always thought that that was going to be really hard and it was going to be scary to put myself out there. But I've actually found it's one of the more like fun parts to do, and I really enjoy doing it. And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that's really fun. It's always nice to be able to share, not necessarily, hey, I'm talking about my book right now kind of tweets, but to be able to be like, here's something cool that ties into the lore of my book. And I found that personally to be something that's been really fun as well as I begin to prepare for promotion for my upcoming releases. But Mel, let's turn it over to you now. Was there anything along the way that you found to go much more smoothly than you might have thought it would go originally?
There's one thing that a lot of authors seem to struggle with, and that's finding ARC readers, so advanced review copy, so people who you would send an advanced review copy to, and then they would go away, read it, and write you a review. And interestingly, in the Mermaid Romance community, there's a huge Facebook group, and it's just people who will review Mermaid Romance books. And one of the things that I learned from the experts who've been doing the self-publishing for a long time is that you should never be stingy with giving away advanced review copies. So with my novella, I wrote the novella specifically as a reader magnet, so I can go to people and say, I've got this little book, about 32,000 words, and you can read it for free if you sign up for my newsletter. So that's the newsletter side of things, which is also important to build up. I won't go into too much detail because otherwise I'll just, whittle on with that for half an hour. and I put a call up on the group and I said, I've got this book coming out. Are there people here who would like to read it? And within a couple of days, I had 50 people come back and say,
I
would like to read the book. And I sent it to all of them. Not all of them did review it. And then I had a sort of select list of about 20 who did review the book in good time for me to then go directly to them with the second one and say, I've got another one coming out. Would you be interested to do it again? And I've got about 20 now who are reviewing my much longer book. So it's a bit harder when the book is long. It takes a little bit longer and people are probably a little bit more reluctant again, because it's not just male romance, it's male female as well. So there were, a few that weren't so keen, but that was something that was really easy because lots of people struggle. They pay for NetGalley, which is like hundreds of dollars to get your books on, or they really struggle finding people to review their books, and that was really easy. It's just, I think it's partly because the Memo Romance community is, there are lots of readers who are also writers, and all the writers will want readers. It's quite, it's like a family. It's not like a massive market out there, and so you sort of have this taking care of each other and these, don't be afraid to ask me questions and I will help you, do the best thing possible. And also my covers were designed by someone who's a writer herself, and she does fantastic professional covers. I can't do covers. I'm just so blind when it comes to design. So unfortunately I have to go and, get all of those designed and pay for them. But she is so great to work with because, again, it's this community feel where you go to someone, not only do they understand the genre you're writing in, they write in the same genre, they will probably read your book. All of those people are now promoting my book because I'm promoting their book. So you've got all this, helping each other, but it's genuine. It's not like I'm sort of scratching your back because, you promised me something. It's because, everyone does it, and that was much easier being self-published in that particular genre than I thought, possible before I started sort of becoming part of that writer community.
Well, that actually sounds really great. Again, it sounds like it's coming back to community. It's coming back to not being afraid to reach out to people, even for something that might feel really daunting, as it does to me anyway, and that is, finding people to review your book through those advanced reader copies. So personally, that's great advice. That's really good to hear that that went well for you, Mel. But let's maybe turn this around and see, was there anything, Mel, that stood out as kind of an unanticipated pitfall? Was there anything that maybe didn't go so well?
Well, I can now talk about the Meme Romance genre from the other side, because while it's great that it's so supportive and it sort of feels like, very, very close, everyone sort of knows each other and everything, it's a very small market. And some of the things that people have been doing quite successfully with other genres, like thrillers, fantasy, sort of more traditional romance, where they have their five books, they have their series, and they find new readers. The market for Memo Romance is quite small. So I've learned a lot about advertising now, and I'm doing all the things that are being recommended, but I've already hit a few stumbling blocks. So one thing that everyone says is great is Facebook ads, and unfortunately they don't work for Memo Romance because outside it's such a heterogeneous readership that they don't have something else in common. So sometimes, like with the Samurai, if you write about, if you write a story that involves that in some way, you know, people might be interested in that outside reading about samurai in their fiction. They might, you know, be interested in the pictures and in real samurai, in history, in costumes. You don't have that with Memo Romance. The only thing we know is that it's mostly women who read it, mostly women who write it, and that's it. And it's such a small demographic that when you even put the biggest names in Memo Romance into the Facebook algorithm search, which supposedly helps you to find your audience, nothing comes up. So you can't put, like for thrillers, you can put Dennis Patterson in there, and you will have, so it's, it goes like this. You have a field that says, promote my book to everyone who likes James Patterson. And if you put James Patterson there, you will have lots of people. But if I put Josh Lanyon or TJ Klune, it's not, no one on Facebook has liked those names, has liked those authors, because they're just not big enough. So you don't get any traction. And you can't promote it to LGBT, people interested in LGBT, because they don't tend to be women, you know, of the age between 30 and 55 or whatever it is. That it's a different community, so you don't have sort of an easy way into the to the readers that maybe are not active in the Facebook groups that you can't promote to yourself, and that is you know, that's sort of a bit of a, making enough money to sustain yourself with Memo Romance is almost, I would say, is almost impossible. I know a very small number of authors are doing it, but from what I can tell, they're mostly, you know, it's a second, either second income in the household, or they've been doing it for 20 years, or they also do design, or they also do editing, or lots of other things. So I had to sort of readjust. If I stay with this genre, I will have to, you know, do other things outside the writing in order to pay the bills, basically. But, you know, that's not to say that I'm not giving it my all. I still want to do it, but yeah, it's also sort of making me think maybe I can, you know, find another genre to write in, but it's difficult writing to a specific market if, you know, your passion isn't in it. I can't write to market. I can't write something that I don't enjoy reading myself, so.
Right. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot to be learned there, too. And like you said, and as the question was framed, these were pitfalls that you did not anticipate. You know, the difficulty in trying to develop Facebook ads for folks who, outside of what it is that they read, have pretty disparate interests. And I can certainly see how that would be a tremendous challenge if you're someone who would like to take advantage of what Facebook ads have to offer. And I'm curious to know now, maybe Noelle had a similar experience in that the marketing and advertising side of reaching out to people was difficult, but perhaps for different reasons, or maybe there was something else entirely that was unexpected that popped up along the way. So Noelle, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience? Anything unexpected jump out in front of you that you didn't see coming?
Yeah, so I haven't had too much issues with the advertising yet. I'm still kind of letting things like slowly build up steam, just getting like those crucial reviews in and just getting the opinions. What I actually struggled with the most was actually, since, you know, you're self-publishing, you have to hire out work and you have to find these people. And my biggest thing was just finding these good people, like, you know, like editors, formatters, proofreaders, all these people that you need to rely on to kind of like help bring your vision to life. And I actually found it extremely hard to, and I've talked to other people who have found it hard to find a very good editor, find a good proofreader, just because it's hard to know who has like that the professional chops and stuff, just because like you can have a sample edit from them and then they'll do a really good job, but it's that sense that they're running it in a business sense that they don't particularly take too much care in wanting to like bring your work up. They just want it in and out. So that's kind of one of those very unexpected pitfalls that I saw, because not only do I have to be Noelle the author, but I also have to be Noelle the publisher, who then has to make these really good connections and find like a very good person that'll help develop my story, who will then help me edit my book really well, who will then catch all of my proofreading, who's going to be on my advanced reading team, who's going to help be the final eyes on this project. So it's very much like the first book is like a playground So you kind of are going to get things wrong, and it's kind of just learning how to pivot and how am I going to fix this? How am I going to find the right connections? And kind of through that process is where you figure out how to do things correctly, because, you know, people can tell you to do it this way and then you try it that way and then it doesn't work out how you're expecting. So it's very much about finding what works. And the biggest advice I can give that I have found is to really find someone who cares deeply about your work. It's not so much about price point, because the price point, again, you think that, you know, quality comes with money. It's not always the case. I found that out. But it's finding someone who actually likes your story and enjoys your story and is also in the same genre and actually cares about you as a person in addition to being a client. So I think that's one thing I would caution everybody to kind of put a lot of thought into, because it can really set you back and hold you from your potential, but it's also one of the obstacles we all have to overcome.
Yeah, that is a very big one. One of the things that has come up in previous conversations I've had with other publishers, with other editors, with other writers who have been on this show and at conferences, etc., is the need to find someone who can work with you in editing your self-published work. It's important to get another set of eyes on it, and you're absolutely right, Noelle. It can be tough to find not just an editor, but someone who is really enthusiastic about the work and who wants to sort of champion it alongside you. And I'll say this, just because I have to, it's a small plug. If anyone's looking for someone to work with side by side on their novel as they're developing it, that is something that I offer through my site at rrcampbellwrites.com/editing-services in personal writing coach mode, which is a little bit different than developmental edits and things of that nature. So that's one place to check out. And there are plenty of other editors that I can recommend too. If you reach out to me at IamRRCampbell, I can get you in touch with some of the other revise and resubmit editors who might be a better fit for you if you don't think I would be. And yeah, you can always take it from there. So there's one more resource for folks who might be in a similar position. Now, I want to keep things here with Noelle for a second. We're going to talk a bit more specifically about advice. And that's advice that you would offer other writers who might be considering getting into self-publication. So now's the time to impart your wisdom, Noelle. What do you have for us after having gone through this experience?
All right. So I get asked this question a lot because I'm very open to people contacting me, and I've been trying to document my journey as realistically and honestly as I can. So a lot of people have seen me kind of like mess up along the process, along the way, just like having a proofreader, like I had to hire two or three of them, and I'm still kind of recovering from that. I think it's something that you need to understand that you're going to fail. Even if you don't think you are, in some regard, you're going to fail somehow. And it's important to have a foundation, and you need to find, these are your people. This is where you're going to go to cry when you have that first one-star review, which is an excellent milestone to cross. just recently passed that one, got a lovely care package from one of my dear writer friends. But again, it's like you need to have, I would recommend if you want to do self-publishing, don't do it if you just want to write, because you're not going to have enough gusto, like enough determination to do it. Again, you need to be like the author, you need to be the publisher, and you need to really know how to deal with these situations that come up. I've talked to a lot of people, and I've turned a couple people over to the self-publishing because I was like, why are people discouraging from doing this? Because you really want to take this into your own hands. It's for the people that want control. It's for the people that want to be able to hire their own editor that's going to help them. It's for the people that want to hire a cover designer and get the cover that they want. It's about, you know, all these people who have like this vision. Like I have a very clear vision on where I want to take this publishing house, but it's not for the people who just, you know, want to publish a book and then just kind of sit and just let it do nothing, because you'll drown if you do that. And it's about play. It's about failing. It's about, you know, I'm going to try something. It might not work. I have lived that life and I'm still alive. I've received some really good advice that, you know, your first book, it seems like it's going to be the end of your career if it fails. And it's really not, it's the jumping point. This is where you're going to meet all the fantastic people. I've had so many people like contacted me with like lists of typos and stuff, and I was like, it's such an outpouring of like passion, and it's the foundation that you're going to move forward with. So don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Embrace failing. There's a quote that has been going around that's like, fail faster. So crash and burn as fast as you can, and kind of pick yourself up and keep going. And it's really, it's about having fun. It's about finding that community and just finding other people who like to write and being crazy. That's really what it's about.
You know, there really is, in any endeavor, an inevitability to this idea that we're going to make mistakes along the way. And I think you're very much of the right mind in that you looked at things that happened that maybe you didn't anticipate, or things that, you know, you, perhaps you wish you'd done differently. And it's not about dwelling on that. It's not about getting super hung up and distressed over a one-star review, as distressing as it can be. It's about taking a look at those experiences and saying, hey, this is what I can take with me going forward. This is something that I can learn from. And now as I move forward into my second book, my third book, however many it is that we end up writing, we now have this additional wisdom that we can take with us. And so I think that's a really good perspective to have, which brings me to Mel now. I'm curious to know, what advice might you have for other writers who are considering getting into self-pub but haven't yet done it themselves?
I will definitely second what Noel said about, if you just want to write, then just write and publish it. You know, either try the traditional publishing route or publish it on, you know, what's it called, Wattpad, or on the archive of our own, which is aimed mainly for fan fiction, but also original fiction. If you just want to be a passionate writer and you know, live for the craft, then, you know, stick with the writing community and just put your work out there. There are many forms of writing. You can even, you know, decide to sort of be a blog writer or sort of travel writer or something, if that's sort of more, you know, if it's just about writing it. Because as when you decide to go into self-publishing, the biggest biggest eye-opener was really, it is not the same industry as traditional publishing. It really isn't. At the moment they're running parallel. Some things are not going so well in the self-publishing world, with, you know, anyone can publish any sort of nonsense on Amazon these days, which sort of can have an impact on the quality and the perception of quality on, you know, self-published writers. That's something that we struggle with. But there's lots wrong in the traditional publishing world as well. And if you think that by self-publishing you will have the same experience as if you were to publish with one of the big five, you will not. It is not the same kind of writing. It is not the same kind of approach. The most successful self-published authors write to market, which means that you research your audience, you listen to what they're saying, and you decide what kind of themes you're going to write about. And then you go and you write a really good book. But it's not the same. It's a much more of a business approach of demand and supply than if you write the story that you really want to write. I mean, sometimes you're lucky and you will find the people who want to read your book. But the most successful self-published authors write to market, they write series, they do a very specific type of marketing, which doesn't work for all genres, something that I learned, as I was saying. And they approach it as a business. I mean, I approach it as a business, but I will never be the right to market kind of person that some people are. I mean, you can take a sort of middling approach where you say, okay, this is giving me an interesting idea, maybe I can do something with it. But yeah, you have to look outside the writing. You have to be a marketeer. You have to be a networker. As much as we all want to stay behind our screen and hide and never talk to people, right, it's really important that we do. And for a lot of us, most of the time, it's talking to people online. But even that can be quite scary. And, you know, dealing with, like Noel said, dealing with editors, dealing with designers, you have to have your business hat on. Because otherwise, you know, you're going to fight with your designer, and that's the worst thing you can do, because they know what they're talking about. Same with the editor. If you have a good editor, you need to listen to them. It's not like a take it or leave it. You're paying for them to critique your book, and you need to take that on board. And yeah, you have to be able to step away from your baby and say, this is my product. And today I'm treating it as a product. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to tweak it and I'm going to make it a shape that maybe is not ideally what I want. Like, I've given up the idea of having the cover that perfectly embodies how I see my guys. I have to pick a cover that shows the people that people, you know, that shows a story that people would buy. It doesn't matter whether or not I like it. It really doesn't. It's market research. That's the only thing that you should focus on with that particular thing. And of course, you can make a little bit of money, sort of by sort of being creative and being just the artist. But if you want this to be your main source of income, you have to really take on board. You know, you have to murder your darlings, and you have to do it in such a way that works for the market and not just for you. And it's a really hard one. I mean, I won't even talk about reviews because I'm normally quite thick-skinned, but reviews is one of those areas where I just go, whoa. so I'm still working on that. That's really hard for me. The other things I'm slowly getting to grips with. But yeah, I also agree with Neil. The most important thing is have fun with it, because for the longest time, you will not make any money, or you will not make enough money for it to pay the bills. And if it's not fun, I mean, you might as well be at the office. If you hate it, then just find a job that pays, you know, and do something else in your free time. Go skiing or mountain climbing. It's better for you than sitting, you know, hunched over this computer thinking, oh, my God, because it's just such, I've never worked this hard in my life, and it's not paying any of my bills at the moment. I mean, I've done so far, what I meant to do this year, but it's a long-term investment, and my long-term investment at the moment, I've got a business plan to the end of next year, and that's what you have to have. You have to have a business plan. And what writers thinking, oh, I need a business plan when they sit down and write their story, it's sort of, it's almost like, you know, it can kill the buzz sometimes, but you have to be able to do both, otherwise self-publishing is not for you.
Right. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's about that love that we have for writing. But it sounds like for someone in your position who really wants to make a career out of this, as you just mentioned, you do have a business plan that carries you all the way through next year. And that kind of ties into what I think I'd like to use to wrap up this conversation. And we'll keep it with you, Mel, for now. I'd like to ask, what is next for you, and is there anything you're working on currently that you'd like to share with listeners?
Yeah, so I've got my book coming out in September, on the 7th of September. I don't think I said the title. It's called Here's Mine. It's sort of, it's a fatal attraction story that has both male men and male female romance elements. And that's at the moment in, that's my one that's coming out. The next one that I'm working on at the moment is a historical romance. I've never done historical romance before, and I'm in the editing stages. And interestingly enough, I will send that one to an agent who has requested it.
Oh, very nice.
So when that's, very unexpected too. When that's finished, I will do what I normally do anyway, which is pay someone to edit it, because that's what you do as a self-publisher. And if I can't get it to an agent, I will still self-publish it, so I need to do that anyway. So I put my best foot forward with that one. Something very recently changed, and that is that I got my rights back from Nine Star Press, because it was, again, it's because I'm very, very impatient, and I learned a lot about series. And it's a series, it's only three books at the moment, but two of them are finished. One obviously was published. The second one was going to come out in October. But because we didn't really sell any books, they were kind enough to give me back my rights. So what I will do before the end of the year is I will have three more books out, which is, again, part of your back catalogue, which is something that as a traditional published writer you don't even think about. But as a self-published author, you need to have back catalogue. So I'm going to build that up as fast as I can. So I'm going to have three more books out before the end of the year. One of them is re-released, and the other two are new. And for next year, I've got one definite series planned, which is Reverse Harem. That is going to be my writing to market idea. We'll see how that goes. And then a potential series, dystopian memoir romance, something. I don't know exactly yet. And I've got a novella which I will sort of squeeze in somewhere because it's good to have, you know, it's a sort of easier thing to work on while you're doing edits. So my plan is to, while I'm editing other things, I will work on the novella, and then I don't know, I will see what I do with it. I mean, I'll self-publish it, but it might replace my reader magnet, and I would put that out for free for a little while to refresh my newsletter list and all of that. So yeah, that's basically my marketing plan to the end of next year, is to get all of these out and make money with them.
That's a whole lot of projects going on, but you're looking forward. That's good. And I'm sure you'll be taking with you many of the lessons that you learned along the way. So let's turn now to Noelle. What is it that you are working on now, or what's next for you in general?
Yeah, I'm currently working on book 2 in the Shadows Creek saga. It's called Phantom's Lament. I'm working on that kind of at the same time. I'm kind of going back and forth between two novellas. I'm going to do one set before book 1 and one that's kind of like a tie-in. And then much to my surprise, I've actually decided in the past couple of days to do like graphic novels. So I am going to illustrate the novellas or parts of them, and I'm going to see what happens, because I've heard like some great feedback that my novels are kind of like, they play like a movie, and they're very much would adapt into like the Japanese manga, the comic book style, just because of the way I write and the way that I see things laid out. So I'm going to see where that goes. I'm pretty excited because I feel like through book 1, I now have like a really awesome team supporting me, just like beta readers and everything. So I'm really excited to start working on book 2. Because I feel like I've grown as an author, so there's nothing more exciting than to know that you're like at a better standing on this mountain than, you know, you're higher than last time. So this journey to book 2 is going to be a lot of fun.
Very exciting. It sounds like both of you have some tremendous things on the horizon, and I want to thank the two of you for having stopped by to talk about your experiences to date in self-publishing. It sounds like there will be much more to come. So thank you, Mel, very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a great pleasure.
And thank you very much, Noelle, for having visited us as well.
Thanks, Ryan. It was a blast.
That's all for my conversation with Mel Go and Noelle Nichols. You can learn more about either guest by visiting melgo.com or noellenichols.com. Thanks again to both of them for joining me on the show, and thanks to all of you listeners for tuning in to this episode. If you like what you've heard in this episode or other shows on the RightsCast Network, I encourage you to leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Your 5-star ratings will help other writers and creatives find our shows. If you do leave a rating and review, let us know on Twitter at RightsCast so we can say thanks. Speaking of saying thank you, the RightsCast Network is also thankful for its patrons at patreon.com/rightscast, especially Kristen Oakley, whose patronage at $3 per episode is incredibly helpful in getting us closer to our goal of becoming self-sustaining. In exchange for their patronage, patrons at $1, $2, or $3 per episode receive great patron rewards, including RightsCast swag, votes in the annual RightsCast Awards, and early ad-free access to every episode of our programming. If this sounds like something that would be of interest to you, please visit patreon.com/rightscast today to become a friend of our programming. Next up on the RightsCast Network, we'll have a Biblio Breakdown episode that will debut on October 5th, followed by the Return of Novel Approaches on October 12th. Co-host Sione Ashleman and I will be focusing on conflict in that episode of Novel Approaches, what conflict is, what its origins are, and what it can do to fuel our stories. Be sure to check it out. Until those episodes debut, you can keep in touch with us on Twitter at RightsCast or with me personally at IamRRCampbell. There's our website, rightscast.net, as well, where you can find our full library of programming and sign up for our weekly newsletter so that you never again miss the release of a new episode. That wraps it up for this episode of the RR Campbell RightsCast. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is RR Campbell signing off. Right on, and write well. This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.